Reading The Unknown Reality by Jane Roberts, a Seth book, Volume 2. Session 715, and the notes at the beginning are Rob explaining that Jane has started her book, Psychic Politics, and she became aware of a slightly different Jane in a psychic library, from which it seemed that much of the material for Psychic Politics came. If you have not read Jane's book, Psychic Politics, definitely a must read. It is very interesting, Jane describing her experiences and explaining things a little bit differently, but the same, as far as the Seth material as a whole. But this psychic library, so in the last session 714, in the notes, which I did not read, it explains about the Akashic Record and how Jane doesn't ascribe to an Akashic Record, yet she is like tapping into this psychic library where there's like a double, her double, and there's just really neat experiences that she has, and she explains in that book. So that's what this is talking about. And Rob is saying that she received on a Friday morning another shorter passage of library material, which is quoted in part right here. So I'm going to read that first. Jane states, quote, "There are ever-changing models for physical reality, transforming themselves constantly in line with new equations instantly set up with each new stabilization. We tune into these models, and our intersections with them alter them at any given point, causing new dimensions of actuality that then reach out from that new focus," end quote. And then it says that she didn't completely understand what she'd written, but it was to be the beginning of key episodes of her psychic life. And she wrote, quote, "My later experiences that day were a practical lesson in how models work," end quote. So she had wrote that after it was all over. And then that same day later, she had said, or she had told Rob that she was going into another altered or enhanced state of consciousness. Rob notes that she compared her feelings with those heightened perceptions she'd enjoyed so much the day before and Wednesday in connection with the birth of her book, Politics. And they are, well, Rob's gonna go do errands, and she decided to go with him. Even though her state of awareness was still growing, and something really neat happened to her, and so this is the documentation of that experience. Right here it says already she was so quote unquote loose that she noticed an unsteadiness in her walking, and she states, quote, "It's as though the floor's rising up beneath my feet, supporting my weight, but in a way that I'm not used to," end quote. And Rob notes that she was enchanted. Okay, so she's not getting out of the car. She doesn't want to interrupt her experience, and she wants to write it all down. So eventually she does. She gets a paper and pen, and she's writing this stuff down. And it's noted here that she was having the most profound group of experiences in seeing, feeling, and knowing the ordinary physical world about her. She had ended up covering half a dozen pages within 30 minutes' time. And Rob is noting that to remind the reader to see her own much longer account of the whole experience in chapter 2 of Politics, Psychic Politics. But here is part of that information. Okay, so Jane states, quote, "Then between one moment and the next, the world literally changed for me. I'm viewing it from an entirely different perspective. It's like the old world, but infinitely richer, more now, built better, and with much greater depth. Words aren't describing this at all. Each person who passes the car is more than three-dimensional, super real in this time, but part of a model of a greater self. And each person's reality is obviously and clearly more than three-dimensional. I know I'm repeating myself here, but it's as if before I've seen only a part of people or things. The world is so much more solid right now that by contrast, my earlier experience of it is like a shoddy version, made up of disconnected dots or blurred focus. Qualitatively, the supermarket plaza was so different than usual that I could hardly believe it. While Rob did the shopping, I kept looking and looking and looking. I knew that each person I saw had free will, and yet each motion was inevitable, and somehow there was no contradiction. I could look at each person and sense his or her model and all the variations. And see how the model was here and now in the person. I saw these people as true people in the meaning of a whole people. These people were more here, fuller somehow, more complete. People seemed to be classics of themselves. I faced a group of shops and saw these also as models and their variations. The same applied to everything I looked at. I thought, she thought to herself, I'm being filled to the brim. And for a moment, she wondered if she'd been fitted with a spectacular new pair of glasses. It was an effort to write these notes to begin with. She wanted to just look forever. End quote. So now Rob's noting that she was still deeply within her great experience on the ride back to their house. She exclaimed, "Wow, I wouldn't touch acid for anything after this, or LSD. Who needs to?" However, Rob's noting that Jane does not use hallucinogenic drugs of any kind. And again, Jane, this is Jane, a quote. She says, "What would happen if you opened your eyes and really saw the world?" She's musing. "It's indescribable," end quote by Jane. And then later that day, she wrote, quote, "Driving home with Rob, for example, I felt the earth support the road, which supported the tires and the car. I felt this physically in the same way that we sense, say, temperature, a positive support or pressure that held the road up and almost seemed to push up of its own accord in a long, powerful arc, like a giant animal's back," end quote. So Rob's noting here that, Seth is going to discuss to some extent the whole subject of her psychic growth in this session. So here's Seth giving his dictation, and he states, "I said at our last session that the evening was momentous for Rupert, and that is true for many reasons. This book deals with the unknown reality, and Rupert began a different excursion into other dimensions last week. I hope in these sessions to show the indivisible connections between the experience of the psyche at various levels and the resulting experience in terms of varying systems, each valid, each to some extent or another bearing on the life you know. Rupert has allowed a portion of his life consciousness to go off on a tangent, so to speak, on another path into another system of actuality. And that's in reference to his psychic library. His life there is as valid as his existence in your world. In the waking state, he is able now to alter the direction of his focus precisely enough to bring about a condition in which he perceives both realities simultaneously. He is just beginning. So, as yet, he is only occasionally conscious of that other experience. He is, however, aware of it now in the back of his mind more or less constantly. It does not intrude upon the world that he knows, but enriches it. The concepts in Unknown Reality will help expand the consciousness of each of its readers, and the work itself is presented in such a manner that it automatically pulls your awareness out of its usual grooves, so that it bounces back and forth between the standardized version of the world you accept and the unofficial versions that are sensed, but generally unknown to you. Now, as Rupert delivers this material, the same thing happens in a different way to him, so that in some respects he has been snapping back and forth between dimensions, practicing with the elasticity of his consciousness. And in this book, more than in previous ones, his consciousness has been sent out further, so to speak. The delivery of the material itself has helped him to develop the necessary flexibility for his latest pursuits. Clear understanding or effective exploration of the unknown reality can be achieved only when you are able to leave behind you many quote-unquote facts that you have accepted as criteria of experience. Unknown reality is also written in such a way that it will, I hope, bring many of your cherished beliefs about existence into question. Then you will be able to look even at this existence with new eyes. Rupert is taking this new step from your perspective, and from that standpoint, he is doing two things. He is consciously entering into another room of the psyche, and also entering into the reality that corresponds to it. This brings the two experiences together, so that they coincide. They are held, however, both separately and in joint focus. As a rule, you use one particular level of awareness, and this correlates all of your conscious activities. I told you that the physical body itself was able to pick up other neurological messages besides those to which you usually react. Now, let me add that when a certain proficiency is reached in alterations of consciousness, this allows you to become practically familiar with some of these other neurological messages. In such a way, Rupert is able to physically perceive what he's doing in his quote-unquote library. He first saw this library from the inside last Wednesday. He was simultaneously himself here in this living room, watching the image of himself in a library room, and he was the self in the library. Before him, he saw a wall of books, and the self in the living room suddenly knew that his purpose here in this reality was to recreate some of those books. He knew that he was working at both levels. The unknown and the known realities merged, clicked in, and were seen as the opposite sides of each other. He has been working with me for some time in your terms, yet I do not, quote unquote, control his subjective reality in any way. I have certainly been a teacher to him. Yet his progress is always his own challenge and responsibility, and basically, what he does with my teaching is up to him. Right now, I give him an A. Like many, however, he was brought up to believe that the intellect's function was mainly to dissect, criticize, and analyze, rather than, for instance, to creatively unite and build. And analysis was thought of as separating the elements of a concept rather than restricting original concepts. New concepts were thought of as intuitional or psychic, as opposed to conventional duties of the intellect, so the two seemed separate. Therefore, Rupert felt duty-bound to question any intuitive construct most vigorously, as a matter of principle. This actually provided an excellent transitory working method for what he thought of as intuitions would instantly come up with a new psychic construct in answer to what he thought of as intellectual scrutiny and skepticism. Actually, the intellect and the intuitions go hand in hand. In Rupert's experience, the two finally began to work together as they should. What I call the high intellect then took over. A superb blend of intuitional and intellectual abilities working together, so that they almost seemed to form a new faculty. The development freed Rupert from many old limitations and allowed him to at last have practical experience with the unknown reality in intimate terms. Rupert's library does exist as surely as this room does. It also exists as unsurely as this room does. It is one thing to be theoretically convinced that other worlds exist and to take a certain comfort and joy from the idea. It is quite another thing to find yourself in such an environment and to feel the worlds coincide. Reality is above all practical, so when you expand your concepts concerning the nature of reality, you are apt then to find yourself scandalized, appalled, or simply disoriented. So, in this work, I am presenting you not only with probabilities as conjecture, but often showing you how such probabilities affect your daily lives. And giving examples of the ways in which Rupert's and Joseph's lives have been so touched. For a while, many of you will play with the concepts while avoiding all direct encounters with any other experience, save that already acceptable. Yet the immensities of your own abilities speak in your dreams, in your private moments. As even inaudibly in the knowledge of your own molecules. There are civilizations of the psyche, and only by learning about these will you discover the truth about the quote-unquote lost civilizations of your planet. For each such physical culture coincided with and emerged from a corresponding portion of the psyche that you even now possess. Many of you are fascinated by theories or concepts that hint at the multidimensionality of your beings, and yet you are scandalized by any evidence that supports it. Often you interpret such evidence in terms of the dogmas with which you are already familiar. This makes them more acceptable. Rupert was often almost indignant when presented with such evidence, but he also refused to cast it in conventionalized guise, and his own curiosity and creative abilities kept him flexible enough so that learning could take place while he maintained normal contact with the world you know. He has had many experiences in which he glimpsed momentarily the rich otherness within physical reality. He has known heightened perceptions of a unique nature. Never before, however, has he stepped firmly while awake into another level of reality, where he allowed himself to sense the continual vivid connection between worlds. He hid his own purpose from himself, as many of you do. At the same time, he was pursuing it, of course, as all of you are working toward your own goals. To admit his purpose, however, to bring it out into the open, would mean for Rupert a private and public statement of affiliation, such as he was not able to make earlier. The goals of each of you differ. Some of you are embarked upon adventures that deal with intimate family contact, deep personal involvement with children, or with other careers that meet, quote unquote, vertically with physical experience. So journeys into unknown realities may be highly intriguing and represent important sidelights to your current preoccupations. These interests will be like an avocation to you, adding great understanding and depth to your experience. Rupert and Joseph chose to specialize, so to speak, in precisely those excursions or explorations that are secondary to others. The focus of each of their consciousnesses, therefore, was made up of a certain kind of mixture that made such probabilities in your terms possible as prime incentives. Each person is at his place or her place. You are where you are because your consciousness formed that kind of reality. Your whole physical situation will be geared toward it, and your neurological structure will follow the habitual pattern. As you learn to throw aside old concepts, you will begin to experience the evidence for other levels of reality and become aware of other quote-unquote messages that you have previously blocked. A certain portion of Rupert's training period is over. The entire focus of his personality now accepts the validity of many worlds, and this means in practical terms. I have told you many times that your consciousness is not stationary, but ever moving and creative, so that each of you through your life moves through your psyche. Your physical experience is correspondingly altered. During these years, then, Rupert's position within his psyche has gradually shifted until he found a new, for him, better, firmer point of basis. From this new framework, he can more effectively handle different kinds of stimuli and form these together to construct an understandable model of other realities. I will continue to speak from my own unique viewpoint, but in your terms, Rupert is one of you, and his explorations, taken from your perspective, can be most valuable. These books, those written and not yet written, of his and mine, will provide frameworks for others to follow if they wish, as they wish. Okay, so that's the end of that session, and session note number one, I'm not going to read, but if you want to pause, you can read this. This is Rob having an experience being a Roman, actually two different Romans, Roman officers. So you can read that if you want. And then there's a little bit more to that. You can pause. But I'm going to tell you guys that for more information on reincarnational self, a reincarnational self or a probable one, Seth's material on reincarnation would be in chapter 4, among others. But chapter 4, if Seth speaks, he's saying, see the material on probable selves in chapter 16 as well of that book, Seth speaks. And in session 680 for volume 1 of Unknown Reality. So I will put those links. And this part right here is in addition to Rob's experience or his thoughts in continuation for note number 1. And note number 2, you can read if you want. You can just go down and keep reading if you'd like. Okay, so note number 4, Rob states, Jane's declaration of the quote unquote super real aspects of her ecstatic state, that quote, the world is so much more solid right now, end quote, soon had me hunting for relevant material I remembered Seth giving. I found two sources in Seth Speaks. In chapter 7, see the 530th session at 10:02, where it states, this is Seth, quote, there are realities that are relatively more valid than your own. Your physical table, for example, would appear as shadowy in contrast. You would have a sort of quote unquote super table in those terms. Yours is not a system of reality formed by the most intense concentration of energy. Other portions of yourself, therefore, of which you are not consciously aware, do inhabit what you could call a super system of reality, in which consciousness learns to handle and perceive much stronger concentrations of energy, end quote by Seth. And also in chapter 16 of Seth Speaks, in chapter 16, the 567th session at 9:24, quote, Seth stated, you understand that there are spectrums of light, so there are spectrums of matter. Your system of physical reality is not dense in comparison with some others. The dimensions that you give to physical matter barely begin to hint at the varieties of dimensions possible. Some systems are far heavier or lighter than your own. End quote. All right, note 5. I'm just gonna go right here where Rob's saying that Seth came through with innate knowledge of basic reality in the 40th session. April 1, 1964, Seth states, quote, this is an extremely rudimentary sense. It is concerned with the entity's working knowledge of the basic vitality of the universe. Without this sixth sense and its constant use by the inner self, you could not construct the physical camouflage universe. You can compare this sense with instinct, although it is concerned with the innate knowledge of the entire universe. End quote. And Rob adds that, at least to some degree, Jane's exploration last Friday afternoon of those super real models for our world represented her use of the sixth inner sense, the same one she wrote in chapter 19 of the Seth material, that, quote, Mrs. Jane, also shows itself in inspirations and episodes of spontaneous knowing. Surely, this sense was partially responsible for my idea construction manuscript. End quote by Jane. So, real quick, if you guys have not read or if you've not seen my video, like I think it says the Seth material, introduction to the Seth material, where it goes into Jane's idea construction manuscript, at least in part, And I'm hoping you guys all know what that is about, because that was her initiation into this whole thing. So I can put that link just in case there's like a newbie somehow coming across this video, to help everything make sense. Because this would be really confusing if you didn't know that information. Anyways, I'm jumping to note 8. Rob's saying, see the 686th session in Volume 1 of Unknown Reality, then see Jane's material on other than usual neurological messages and speeds in Appendix 4 and 5. So when those are available, you'd go to those. And he adds, later, I add here a paragraph from the private session Seth held for them on, quote, he, or Rupert Jane, he has an ability to identify with others and communicate. He has always been mentally quick and intellectually agile. As a youngster, he received the messages from others so quickly that he was diagnosed as having an overactive thyroid gland. Actually, he was receiving quote unquote unofficial messages that are usually neurologically censored. He could not allow them to become conscious in that world. End quote by Seth. And then note number 9, see Appendix 18 when that's ready. So, in addition to note 9, when in this session Seth talked about Jane being done with her training, Rob's adding that Seth had mentioned Jane was beginning training in the 6th session, and then also in the 12th session, January 2nd, 1964, Seth had informed them that Jane and Rob were his quote first lesson class end quote. But then he added, quote, so Seth states, at one time or another, all of us on my plane give such lessons. But psychic bonds between teacher and pupil are necessary. This means that we must wait until personalities in your reality have progressed sufficiently for lessons to begin. Although reason is extremely important, I do not mean to minimize its value. Nevertheless, what you call emotion or feeling is the connective between us, and it is the connective that most clearly represents the life force on any plane and under any circumstances. End quote. And then Rob adds, later we were to learn about the distortions that could happen as Jane relayed some of Seth's material. Given the open-ended nature of time and considering the idea of probable realities, we came to realize that simultaneously we could and could not be Seth's, quote, first lesson class, end quote. But in those early sessions, we had no background knowledge of which to ask meaningful questions. And in the 15th session, Seth told Jane and Rob, quote, I am giving you what may be considered a broad outline to be filled in, end quote. And you guys can read the last three if you would like to. But that is the end of this session. And look at where we are. We are in section 5 for the next video, and it is how to journey into the quote unquote unknown reality. Tiny steps and giant steps, glimpses and direct encounters. It literally always amazes me how fast these books get done. But we are getting really close. Look at that. Pretty cool. So, thank you so much for watching, you guys. I appreciate it. And definitely share this information. I know you can't share it to just anyone, but unfortunately, that's the case. But for people that you think might be interested in it, definitely share.